morning, everybody. This is a meeting of the South Kingstown Technical Review Committee. The date is Wednesday, November 15th. First on our agenda, we have approval of the minutes, but the minutes are actually not ready, so we're going to table those until next time. And then up next, we have Eric. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I could, or you could put the other one on.
Okay. If it doesn't matter to you guys, we'll just take them in order. Okay. So up first, we have TRC minor review, preliminary review, minor subdivision, Curtis Corner, minor subdivision of proposed 5 lot, minor subdivision with existing frontage on Curtis Corner Road.
There's the original signatures and the check that goes with it as well.
Morning, everyone. John Kenyon, attorney for the applicant.
Eric Prevey, engineer, civil engineer with Creed Engineering. John, you want me to just go right into it?
Sure.
Okay. So this property is located off Curtis Corner Road, just west of the police station. I'll zoom out for a minute so you can kind of see the entire parcel. We'd come back for a pre-application quite a while ago. Right here is 108 over here, just west of it. It's a 22-acre parcel, a large amount of wetlands over here. Excuse me, 29.9-acre parcel, but 22 of it is wetlands located over here. The upland portion is in the southeast portion over here. There's an existing single-family home with a detached garage in this area. So the proposal is for 3 new lots. It's a minor subdivision with no street creation. As I mentioned, we had come for a pre-application previously. Given that it's a minor and no street creation, we'll be coming for a preliminary with the board. We've got 3 new lots located here, putting the existing home within a lot as well, and a large remainder lot as well. The remainder lot is approximately a 22-acre parcel remaining out there. Excuse me, let me take that back. Remainder parcel, yeah, I was asked for how much uplands was in this area, and approximately 5.8 acres of this is uplands of the remainder parcel as well. We have since that time gone to DEM wetlands. We have gotten our insignificant alteration permit for wetlands, as there's wetlands on the site. As I mentioned, single-family homes, the homes would be on drywells, and the driveways would be on driveway infiltration trenches along the side. Each owner would have their own maintenance directly. As I mentioned, this was a review and approved by DEM. There is sidewalks that are existing, currently located out there on. I know there was some discussions about that last time about sidewalks due to school kids. Obviously, the school is just west of here as well. But there is a sidewalk that's located along here. We'd just be doing traditional, the curb cuts and as any standard driveway would be. That area is serviced by public water and sewer. So that's kind of the overview. I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Just a few pieces mm-hmm. about the plan. I think Chelsea might have more, but I'll start with what I have.
Sure.
So we'll just need the will serve letters for water and
okay.
sewer.
Yep. Even though they're individual services, still get a will serve for those. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we're not doing any mains, any
right.
new mains. They're all just services that would be tapped on. Okay.
Letter.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. John, Chuck, when we came to the pre-app, it said your email requested a capacity analysis for the sewer. So that you'll have to keep up with him.
Okay.
He might not give you your will serve until he gets that analysis. That
okay.
is a DPS. John, Chuck, specific question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the water table? Septic systems, I know, have a setback requirement from property lines, but I assume the drywells do not, or if they
from
do,
property
they,
lines, yeah,
they
do still, they do yeah,
that.
They still do. Yeah.
Was it 5 feet or
10 feet? Yeah, I'm sorry, 5. Actually, yeah, this one over here is shifted a little bit. So yeah, that one's this one right here. Actually, probably should be shifted a little bit. But.
Okay. Is that what it is, 5 feet?
Yes. So the, yeah, water tables on site, we did do some water tables on site, even though it's not septic systems, we still want to know from a design perspective.
From the dry water.
Yep, we got six and a half foot to groundwater table over in this area.
Okay. And the only thing going into the dry well is the roof drains?
Correct. Well, for the dry well, yes, exactly, roof drains, yep.
And then on the side of the road, it's just that swale?
Exactly, the trench for the driveway, yep. So just trying to treat any of the impervious surfaces right on site and...
There's a completeness things that we can send to septic.
Mm-hmm.
The plan that you submitted doesn't actually have a platform.
Of what?
A platform.
Okay. Oh, yeah, like a record plan, yep.
Yeah, so we'll need that.
Yep.
For the whole parcel.
Okay.
Each lot should have all the proper and dimension part.
Okay.
Because this is a minor subdivision, the board will actually approve locations of the houses and driveways, but just be the lots themselves.
Great.
Although there was that pre-app discussion about shared drivers, the board may have questions for you about that, which is one. It's in the board's purview to acquire a shared driveway if they so feel it's in the regulations that they have that authority. So they might be interested in putting a condition on that approval of the two adjacent lots and a shared driveway. The other question we had is about the lot. I think it's about one closest to me. We need to just know the total upland in that lot.
Okay.
We give the total area. Mm-hmm. There's that little sliver in the corner.
Okay.
I assume it's like 524 feet.
Correct.
20,500 feet.
Yeah. We usually try and keep it. I'll make sure that that's. So I'll add that note right on the bottom here. You just put suitable in parentheses there.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's lot one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add that on there. Within upland, gotcha.
I will send you a notice of incomplete submittal so you can probably, yeah, I think there was a couple of small ones.
Okay. Sounds good. And yeah, a couple of them we knew the signed application, the check, so.
And we'll... a few of them are just like plan notes and whatnot.
Yep. Okay.
So will the staff prepare a motion for what consideration?
So the TRC, supposed to vote. The TRC would either vote to recommend approval or vote not to recommend approval. So if the TRC recommends approval, we would, okay, they would go on the consent agenda.
Okay.
Either way, we'll draft a motion. And then the board would either make the motion as part of the consent agenda or as part of the agenda. I don't know. I mean, to me, I wouldn't, at this point, be comfortable putting on the consent agenda because the TRC didn't see the whole plan, right? So that would record. So we're going to go up in the model on that one lot. So I would say TRC doesn't do anything right now with it. Just, you know, we reviewed it, we had these concerns, and then put it on the regular agenda for the planning board to make a motion. That's for the comments. That works for you guys?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because it's no minor. We don't technically notify abutters, right? Because no street or anything. But it is obviously a public meeting at that point.
And minor subdivisions without street extension, if the TRC is good, they can go right to the consent agenda. But this one I think is missing some information that I'd like to have.
Sounds good.
Not be on the consent agenda.
So we'd be looking at December 28th.
Yes.
Planning board meeting.
Merry
Christmas to us all. And so then the deadline to get that is going to be, we need to have it by the 12th, the 7th.
7th of December.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So okay. You need to have your completeness by the 7th. Yeah, so is that completeness?
Yeah.
like a completeness by 7, so obviously you need materials before then to make sure you can certify it complete. Okay, sounds good. I'll plan accordingly. Okay. Awesome. Thanks for your time.
Is this the one you're here for?
Yeah.
Yep, I just wanted it. I figured since.
Yeah. I'm Mark. I don't know.
Mark.
I don't know if you met
his brother's Mike.
Eric, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. We can. I think I heard the gist of it, but, you know, coming in, you're just planning services off of Curtis Corner. Yeah, no actual road prepared. So, you know, it's going to be pretty straightforward. It's going to be, you know, service applications directly from the main that's out in Curtis Corner.
Yep. I will be emailing you for a will serve letter first.
Yeah. And it really, you know, it's going to be pretty straightforward. So we can, you know, it definitely will be a thing we can supply to you as soon as, you know, we can talk about it afterward.
Sounds good.
Outside, so.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Thanks, Mark.
Cool. Awesome.
See you tonight.
Yeah. I got two of them tonight.
You got zoning after?
I got zoning after. I was just informed of that yesterday, so.
Conservation Commission and the Zoning Board at the same time.
No, 6 o'clock in the small room.
But we're going to be in there till 9.
The Conco?
Yeah, Dave's going to be all over us.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, up next on our agenda, we have TRC advisory reviews. Up first is development plan review for marijuana-related uses, Liberty Lane Grow Center. Request to develop a marijuana cultivation facility, assessment plat 21-3, lot 4, located at 550 Liberty Lane.
Once again, I'm John Kenyon, attorney for the applicant.
David Russo, Decreed Engineering.
You guys, gentlemen, just state your name for the record.
Michael Shane.
Okay, wait. I'm going to have you do that again while we don't have questions. Jimmy won't pick it up.
All right, John Kenyon, attorney for the applicant.
David Russo, Dupreet Engineering.
David Morgan.
And Michael Shine.
So this property on Liberty Lane, it's owned by South County Post and Beam. That's why Josh is here. But it's going to be leased to Dave and Mike's company. Dave Russo has prepared the plans. Dave, if you want to go over the conditions.
I mean, it's an existing building. Located off of Liberty Lane, it's located off the back end of it, so it has a access travel way to the rear. There's no site work proposed on the site. We've shown the wetlands in the area, which has been previously reviewed by DEM. So in terms of the civil site design, we're not proposing anything. The connections for the utilities are remaining the same. There's really nothing that we're proposing additional on the site besides the interior changes and the interior operations, which David could speak to in terms of the operation.
There's no regulatory requirements relative to lighting or security on the outside of the building?
Security, they have to have cameras all around the building.
All right, lighting,
they ask for... they don't have any real standards on it. They just ask that you have enough lighting.
Okay. They don't have standards as foot candles or anything like that around the building, distance from the building, perimeter, anything like that?
No. They review the lighting, but the state, they didn't ask for a lighting plan from you guys, right? Yeah, I haven't seen them ask for a lighting plan yet. They tell you that's one of their standards, but then they just... take a statement that there's lighting on the building. Normally the plans will show the lighting, but you don't do lumens plans, that sort of thing.
John, what about fencing?
Is
there a requirement that the access points all have a security fence with a gate around the property?
Around the entire property?
Around where you access the building, isn't that a requirement?
No, you can't have it. You can't have anything outside. So, if there was any type of outside facility, they'd have to be fencing. But if everything's inside, they don't have any requirement that there's fencing.
So, just, I know you said it, but I just want to, I guess, say it again. But there's no exterior at all. So there's not going to be any thing at the beginning of the road, or there's not going to be any other security requirements proposed right now. And even lighting is not necessarily, additional lighting is not proposed now, although it may be depending on what the state says.
In terms of civil, we don't do architecture or building. That's really in the purview of the architect or the changes in the building, but we're not proposing any site changes on the site itself.
The state requires the cameras at all points of access on the building. Interior, they require cameras 24 hours. They have immediate access to it. They can sit there and watch their employees work as the day goes by. Other security measures are they have seed to sale tracking, which is when you put the seed in, they put a code on it, and then it tracks wherever that goes.
Okay. Right now, I was just kind of wondering about any impacts or the exterior, not necessarily regulatory projects in there.
There's not a whole. Well, how many employees do you guys think you'll have?
Looking at 4 or 6 people at most, mostly 2 to 3 during the day. I think you have to think of it as the environment inside is a lab, so it's going to be completely sealed and secure. All the security is on the inside, secure doors. You're looking at sealed room environments, and basically all the stuff on the interior, so to get into that building is where the security starts. So the whole, basically the build-out is on the inside, and everything's going to have a secure pathway through. Cameras located at every access, again, goes to the state, the DVR, and that is tracked 24 hours. I think it's about 2 months.
You have to hold the tapes for 2 months.
So the security on the outside, I think we're just the only thing to look at is maybe just the areas there, just fencing off, and basically just that one section where we have any disposal material that would be locked up.
And that's shown on the drawing, or?
Yeah, I can bring it back up.
The X, right, is that our proposed available dumpster location?
Yeah, dumpster location. Right.
Yeah, and when you dispose material, if it's plant material, you have to render that into an unusable form, right?
Correct.
You have to mix it with
other materials. The way we do things is we use everything in the plant. And then basically whatever is disposed, we're going to try to recycle, which would mostly be the medium material that would be used, which is in any part of the plant. And then that, anything of the plant would be ground up and secured in a bag, which would be secured in those stuff in that dumpster.
Okay. As far as that goes, I see the fence line on the plan set right here, right, with our X, but it's, I don't know, I lose it here, right? It just seems to stop. And it sounds like it should be around, it should enclose the dumpster area.
Yeah.
So if we could just have that reflect where the fence would go.
Yep.
And then if that leader for the dumpster location, if we could take out the available, because the property is in the groundwater protection overlay district, there are some requirements related to the GPOD that I'll go over with you all. One of them is that we kind of just need a little bit of detail on the dumpster. The dumpster, per those regulations, needs to be covered or in a roof location. So just basically a dumpster detail, more or less, showing it to be covered or roofed, whatever you prefer to be your preference.
And utilities to the building, I know, I think I read that the electric service is adequate as it is to the building.
It's a three-phase 400 amp service that's used.
Okay, so that's it. And then water is, so your requirements pretty minimal, 160. Service the building now?
Yes, there's water.
And so that's all adequate the way it is. So there's no disrepair for any utilities.
We had wrote up a little blur just looking at
on the water, yes.
Yeah, I think that it was within limits and we don't seem to anticipate anything.
What is the current of the PC system?
Okay. If you guys are ready, I'll run through sort of the notes that I have. I know we talked about lighting a bit, but for our regulations, one of the findings that the planning board has to make is that there is adequate lighting for the building, parking area. So if we can get on the building where lighting locations are, I don't think that it's necessary to do a lumens plan,
yep.
Right? But just something to indicate where those lights are so we can establish that there is lighting. For the G-Pod, the zoning ordinance, the way it's written, reads that any new use needs to meet the provisions of the groundwater protection overlay district. One of those is related to stormwater runoff, and basically there's a requirement in that section that puts forward that the water runoff from the parking lot needs to be treated, infiltrated on site, and that the building roof drainage has to be separated from the parking lot runoff. There's sort of really particular standards in there, but so there, based on the way the zoning ordinance reads, saying that any new uses need to meet that, I think that we actually will need to see some stormwater infrastructure related with the parking area associated with the building and the building itself.
So
that's probably the most cumbersome.
Existing buildings,
you have
because you're changing.
Language is use. It's not
use. Yeah. I mean, it's the way it reads is any new use or substantially altered use, right? New or substantially altered use. Like, under substantially altering a use is an odd thing to think about. It does seem to imply building, but the way it reads new use, it's really Jeff's determination to make by.
That's what it says. That's what it says. Let's see, agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's like above and beyond what DM. I mean, DM wouldn't even require any stormwater for this because there's no new pavement. You're not disturbing any. You're actually going to create more disturbance by putting stuff in. We can review that regulation. It seems kind of.
Yeah. So that one aside, which, you know, would be somewhat an odd one. If on the vicinity map, I could ask you to add in a 1,000-foot perimeter and 2,000-foot perimeter, just specific to our marijuana cultivation requirements, just so we can have that depicted where those lines fall.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about fencing, lighting.
Landscaping.
There we go.
Let's see the emblem, so. Because it's subject to DPR review, even though it's an existing building, you'll have to comply with the parking lot landscaping requirements, which for this one will be perimeter landscaping. I don't know them off the top of my head. It's like 3 per so many feet of linear parking lot, so you have to do that. And then there's a requirement that the parking lot cannot directly abut the front of a building that faces a street. So, the northern side of that building will have to not have parking directly abutting it. It has to have some kind of landscaping feature there. Obviously, if there's a door on that from the building, you wouldn't put landscaping in front of the door, but anywhere there's not a door should have landscaping. I want to say it's like a 5-foot minimum, but it's in the regulation.
3 feet.
3 feet.
Up.
3 feet, even better. Yeah. I don't think that should be too cumbersome to address. It's, you know, you're really just talking about the perimeter of the parking lot on the two sides. But yeah, it's DPR, so landscaping would apply.
Another one is that for our... What is that figure?
Well, because it's a landlocked piece with no road frontage.
Well, I think the language is that it faces the street, not the frontage. So it's the portion of the building that faces the street. And so the street it faces would be Liberty Lane. And that's the portion of your building.
It's like with Ministerial Road, and the garage is another 300 feet.
Yeah. So it really is only that front bit.
But the landscaping requirements, I'm trying to figure out where the landscaping would be required.
Are you talking like directly in front of like a strip in front of the building?
Yeah, so that 3-foot strip right in front of the building.
This here, front of the building, you need a 3-foot strip.
except for where there's an entrance, right? So you'd cut out a piece where there's an entrance. And then this portion would need some sort of perimeter landscaping. And this here would need perimeter landscaping. Although you might get away with it if the tree line actually comes up here like it's shown, you wouldn't obviously need to put landscaping in there. So really, we're talking about here in front of the building.
So this is the edge of pavement, but this is a gravel yard?
Yeah.
So it's one contiguous space that really couldn't...
I think if you were going to call that your parking, then it would to be designed as an entire parking lot.
Okay.
And it would need to meet the parking lot regulations, which I think would be more cumbersome for you than just putting the landscaping in.
Well, could they put the landscaping on the rear if they wanted to? I mean, it still meets the intent of...
Yeah, you could.
Is that stormwater regulation for water quality specifically?
The G-Pod?
Yeah,
that
one. Yeah, three that one. Yeah, I only need three parking spots.
If you're going to have the whole area paved in the gravel as parking, we'd have to see what the standards for parking lots are, if there are any. But if not, you would just basically have to design it right as a parking lot. Well, is there like a standard for parking lot? They then have to provide drainage for that parking lot?
So if you're going to pave it, I guess.
Yeah, they don't have to pave it.
They don't have to pave it.
Just leave it. That's why I was asking about the stormwater, because technically, there's no matter what they do out here, there's going to be no increase in stormwater flow.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's water quality and there's a landscape component that's required, they could just use the landscaping for water quality treatment.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, you know what? Who's good at reading this and knowing what the intent was behind it?
Yeah. Nobody.
I think it's an art more than a science. But basically what we have in the G-Pod says that basically has rainwater collected on permanent roofs over 1,500 square feet in total area shall be directed into dry wells, injection wells, or underground, leaching galleys, whatnot, da-da-da-da-da. And then it has like a separate section on stormwater runoff for paved parking lots, public streets, loading areas. So
Okay. Whatever
that, you know, that parking lot area or whatnot, Yep, it's sort of all in there, explicitly spelled out the intent of it, a little less clear, but what the requirements are. And then another piece...
You can always ask for a waiver, but you need a public hearing for a waiver, so it's your option.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't ask for a waiver from the zoning ordinance.
How many employees? Between two or four, there could be visitors coming in from the state. Four, maybe six people at the most.
There's minimum parking. It's, I don't know what you'd call it. At this stage, seems it's an industrial district. Probably the one with manufacturing in it, and it requires one for every two employees on the largest ship.
There's like two to three.
One last piece is that the wastewater discharge from the facility needs to be approved by the Department of Public Services. It's a specific requirement for marijuana cultivation. So you'll want to work with John Schock to get an approval for that. Just
does that happen before development plan review?
Yeah,
or is that
peer approval?
I think you guys had to hash that out at the other project site. So if you flip back to those comments, I think that you'll see in that project they'll give you some guidance on what you need to have answered for John.
Has that one been resolved?
Frank Gav, yeah.
Has that one been resolved?
Yeah, they got to
be. Yeah, they had to do some things with the building layout, showing the plans for the plumbing and how things were being discharged and whatnot in order to satisfy the requirements.
How big is that facility?
I don't know.
I don't know off the top of my head. But he's going to be looking for, you know, pollutant loading in the wastewater, and the way they got around that is they had an on-site holding tank and a regenerative system for the water, but there was like basically zero discharge to the system. But you just have to look at that.
I had a question for you, Josh, on the spot. The location of the wetlands in the corner of the building within the buffer, do you guys think you need an insignificant alteration permit or anything for the change of use?
Not for the existing building.
Okay.
If they're expanding the building in that area, then yes, but it's an existing condition.
Okay. And then I have a few plan notes, but I can put them, I'll type them up and send them to you.
Is there anything relevant to the remediation area? I mean, I know you're not changing anything on the site, but I think it should be.
This was already remediated?
It is already remediated. Okay. I mean, something we'll probably have to review if there's some stormwater component, but none that I'm aware of right now.
Okay. There's nothing that says, like, if the property is to be redeveloped or even, you know, change of use, you'd have to do anything further with this. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. All
right. I think that's it. We can talk some more about the parking and landscaping if you want.
Let's review the regs and see where we can take it.
I mean, if you drop the rain garden there for the roof, then you are going to, if you landscape it, aren't you done?
That's
you kill both.
Yeah.
What I want, right?
Yeah.
Just so to speak.
Yeah.
If you would have put it right there.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking about water quality. If it's just water quality, but we can review it.
Okay.
Some people might say that's a good thing.
No, you don't.
Just
yeah, those two in the middle. I didn't say that.
Okay, so the question is, where do we go from here
with
the application?
Your next step was a planning board, so they would have the same sort of completeness deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Just gave Eric whatever that was.
Yep, the 7th of December.
To be on for
December 28th.
December 28th. No holidays for you guys.
Mm-mm, none of us. No, that's mine. Oh, no, my dear.
So you just signed hookup? Just signed a little hookup?
Is that dependent upon John doing his approval of the sewage too?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can be on that agenda if you don't have it, but you can't get your approval, so.
What if he gave us the approval December 20th? Like, before it? Like.
Yeah, because it's not a completeness item.
Mm-hmm.
Right. His approval just has to come in before approval.
Yeah, we can be put on, and then
we don't
have it by then.
Once the submittal is complete, then
we'll
step for pieces, we can
so December 20th.
Take as they come in.
28th.
Thursday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You sound like you need to go home.
Yeah.
You can tell Steve that.
I will.
See you guys.
Okay, up next on our agenda, we have combined conceptual master plan and preliminary plan review for major land development project, 84 Old Tower Hill Road. Proposed 25,950 square foot self storage facility on assessor's plot 57-2, lot 68.
Yeah, that's just to clarify, that's going to be 5,000 number.
Yeah.
Chelsea, for the record, I confused myself on this.
Right, yep. Yeah, right, because then there's the three stories.
Yeah, duly noted.
Prior planner had been upset. It's the footprint. The footprint.
Something I said?
No. 75.
I was just kidding.
With the three building.
So yeah. We should make sure we have that correct when we...
Because that was confusing to
do the agenda.
Yep.
We don't want you to necessarily have to come back because we put the wrong figure on the agenda.
No, I know, and it's... Whenever we put areas, it's always the square footage of the building, not the floor, gross floor area.
So we were hoping to just... So you got the comments that we sent?
I got wrong.
The technical area. The plan changed, I think, since last time that you saw it with the access and things, so we just wanted to have you sort of run through what those changes were and see if you have any issues with the technical stuff that we pulled out.
No problem.
If you guys would be so kind as to just state your names for record to start with.
I'm Richard Tasca from Blue Dog and Sarah Harris.
Yeah, David Russo, the pre-engineer. So we received the comments that... were provided by planning. I'll just walk through them sequentially. The first one was the lighting fixtures, to just take them from the lighting plan and put them on our plan, which we've done on the latest plan. We are aware these are due on Friday, so we will submit these revisions to you. The second comment was to add a note in regards to the TMDL and the immediate action work plan to make sure the contractor is aware of that. We've added that note to this plan so that they're aware of that. We didn't stick it in the general notes because we thought we were just going to get lost, so we just add a separate renewal action work plan note just to remind the contractor to follow those instructions. This comment, third comment was the ADA accessible wheelchair ramp, which we've added to the plan in front of the ADA space. The fourth comment was in regards to the bollard locations, which there was a concern with the corner of the building. We're pinched over here because there's an electric easement, and we're not allowed to put infrastructure like a roadway. So the 18 foot is really the maximum we can go in there. So we did put the two bollards in that area to protect the corner of the building. There shouldn't be too much. This area should be straight through traffic. There shouldn't be too much backing up in this area. So safety is good to have it there. I don't think it's too much of a concern of somebody backing into it in that area. We did. We added the detail to the plans also.
So is that two-way through there?
It will be. Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be heavily trafficked. We're kind of pinching here with this.
Jeff, is that in the ordinance anywhere? Width of the aisle for two-way traffic, is that a zoning thing?
Yeah, just drive. Technically consider a driveway. Yeah.
You can hear me.
Yeah. It's not the curb cut, though. It's the, actually, the in and out is only 18 anyway.
No, this is actually a lot wider. It's deceiving. This is the only area. We're doing a saw cut here, so that's the mention of the saw cut. It's actually paved a lot wider.
Okay.
It's deceiving the way it looks, but this is all paved, Josh, so it's going to be a lot wider when you're actually driving down the lane.
Yeah.
It says. You should,
What does it say? Width of access drive 708. Yeah. Access driveways serving any required parking lots as a direct access drive from a street shall not be less than 12 feet for one way traffic and not less than 24 feet for two way traffic.
I don't know if that's just the front.
Yeah, I think that's referring to access drive. This is more just inner drive for driving. Mm-hmm. I would consider that.
Down below? We can see if there's
any standard on that.
Do you have room to widen the access drive? Because you're listed 18.1 feet.
The access drive that's listed as 18.1 feet is actually the width of the saw cut for the utilities. That area is fully paved. So it's really just a saw cut of the utilities. That access drive is going to, when you're driving down, it's a lot wider. Yeah, it could be 30, 40 feet in some areas. Eric, actually, one of the earlier meetings of this project, mentioned concern about traffic flow in this area. For the time being, and what we have here now, we're going to do the best we can to make it clear. but if there's a future tenant here, we are going to work in some, you know, probably curbing in that area to make that really clear.
Yep.
Right now it's difficult just the way that this is set up, but in the future, if there's a future tenant, we'll, you know, we'll work to improve this area and that traffic flow. Fifth comment was in regards to a paved waterway here that got lost in the revisions that we added back and we labeled correctly. Sixth comment was in regards to if there's going to be a gate on this emergency access. We were going to leave it open, and there's a gate and fence around the entire facility. We, after the last meeting, eliminated all the parking back here to eliminate the bigger walls that were needed. And the architect checked the building code regulations, and fire needs access on all three sides of the building. So we left the paved accessways on three sides. We thought this would be good to leave back here. It would have to be graded anyway back here. So we thought it was just good to have a secondary so they could loop around the property if they needed to. It also allows a fire truck to loop if they needed to. But I don't think there's a need for a fence. If a citizen wanted to drive through there, I don't think it's a big issue.
Yeah, I guess it's more of a security question for you, if that's what you want. We weren't sure if you needed like a sign or something that said no through access, you know what I mean, so that people didn't think there was more parking back there.
There's not much, I mean, as noted, there's not much function back here. The main entrances are here, there's entry doors here, so if somebody does go through here, it might be just to turn out and get through, which actually helps with the traffic flow in the area.
And you wouldn't prohibit it?
No.
It doesn't matter to you, really?
No, and this, I mean, this helps the overall drainage of the site just by reducing the amount of pavement.
Okay. Speaking of fire, you sent the plan, it was the old plan, wasn't it?
Yep, and I sent the new one.
We sent the new one just yesterday.
And
that turning radius to the fire district, so they should be able to give a comment in advance of public hearing.
There's a comment about enlarging the retaining wall details, which we've added to the plans. Those will be on the plans that we submit. These walls are smaller now. We don't feel they're going to need tiebacks, so the easement issue has gone away with that, removing those large walls in that area. There's a water pipe, indicating detail for the watertight pipe. There's really not a detail for watertight pipe. It's just when they order it, it's a specific type of pipe that they have to order. So we've added a note just in bold to make sure that they order that when they order the pipe for the site. Details for wheelchair ramp and bollards, we added those to the plan. The 10th comment was in regards to the pavement cross section that we had. We've updated that based on the comment. It was just, we had 1.5 inch, 2 inch, the depth, we updated that. The 11th comment was in regards to the access on the north and why it was needed. But we spoke to that, the fire having three access points. And there's actually a rear door here that we're gonna just extend the pavement to that door and then just leave it at that point.
While you're there, after talking about fire trucks, why is this particular turn so sharp? Wouldn't it be make more sense just to have this be a much more gradual thing for access? I mean, it seems like a sharp turn for a fire truck to make.
We can look at that. We can look at maybe even just paving this area a little bit just to have some more. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt to have, if you can have trucks in here backing out. That's something we can look at. It's not a substantial increase in pavement or anything.
No. Yeah, I don't think it will affect any drain.
No, it might help if people are backing out in here with any type of moving trucks or anything. So that's something we can look at, though. And then the 12th comment was in regards to the sidewalk in front of the building in this area, which was a good comment. If people park here, then we do agree they're more likely to walk across the parking to the front door versus on here and up. So we've shown the sidewalk in that area. We've eliminated a lot of the sidewalk there. We're going to have to work with the landscaper to landscape that area. I'm not sure that that's going to be reflected on the plan submitted Friday, but something we can add in. Yeah, just due to timing. But it does eliminate that sidewalk in front of the building.
If you can have that just in advance of the public hearing.
Okay.
May either deliver the copies to us and we'll distribute, or just bring the copies to
as a supplement. Okay. That was all the comments. It was 12 comments. The 13th comment was just the submittals due on Friday. That was it.
Okay. Questions?
Okay. Comment, I guess. Downstairs we have the sign that yeah. needs to be posted. Okay, good.
Where does it need to be posted? Right at the tip, at the access point, way up at
yeah, the
beginning, right on Old Towgate. I mean, Old Tower Hill.
Road, yeah.
Okay.
You can go down and get it. Doug's down in the office now. It's a $50 fee. So he's giving
pick it up on the way out. Okay. All right.
Okay.
It's easy enough. We can do that.
That's it.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, up next on our agenda, we have pre-application concept plan review for a major land development project, marina and shellfish hatchery operations, request to develop an 1,800 square foot shellfish hatchery on the same parcel as an existing marina.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Are we going to try and call Perry?
Yeah, if we could, that'd be great. Here's up there. Thank you.
How are you?
How you
doing?
How's it going, Josh?
Yeah, Max, how are you?
Good.
Hello?
Hey, Perry, it's the Beth Noonan here in the South Kingston TRC.
All right, thanks for letting me in like this.
Thanks for setting this up, you guys. I'm Beth Noonan. I represent Perry in regards to this application.
Rick St. Jean, I'm the engineer.
So this is a proposal down at the former Lockwood Marina, which Perry has acquired. And today, additionally, he's also picking up the land from DOT. So there's some additional strip of land along the road that will be part of this project. And the proposal is to construct a new building to put a hatchery in there. So we've put some narrative in the application to describe the hatchery, but maybe, Perry, if you just want to walk through quickly what you're proposing out there. Everyone has the plans in front of them.
In Rhode Island, there are companies, farms. There are no hatcheries in Rhode Island to buy shellfish seed from. Therefore, all oyster farmers buy their seed from out-of-state sources. A lot of them go to Maine, some down south, Virginia, New York. But there's no hatcheries in Rhode Island. Now, this is it's also getting hatchery, getting seed, shellfish seed from a hatchery isn't a sure thing. If the hatchery doesn't have enough seed to supply you with, you might get shorted. So there's not only the cost of buying and sending the money out of state, but it's also the potential of not being able to buy seed, which would be, a huge issue for a lot of businesses in Rhode Island. So that's why I'm proposing the hatchery. The hatchery setup would require an algae culture system. The algae would feed the oyster larvae a broodstock facility, a broodstock conditioning area, which is basically one or two tanks that would condition them, meaning that gradually warm the water up to 68 degrees to get them to spawn. The water is gradually raised over the course of months, and they have to be, fed a proper, algae for them to consume to prepare to spawn. And then once they spawn, the millions of larvae need to be fed the algae, which is why that algae culture system is on the second floor with the windows that would allow for sunlight to get the photosynthesis going in those algae tanks. The algae will be trickled into the larvae tanks, and the larvae will hopefully be happy floating around looking for something to attach onto to undergo metamorphosis. Then there's the settling tanks, which are those tanks on the in the downstairs, the first floor area, that is takes up a bit of space to have both the algae takes up a lot of space and the settling tanks take up a lot of space. The oyster larvae presented with crushed up shell. The oyster larvae, after a couple weeks of eating the phytoplankton that we're growing, then land on that crushed up shell and undergo metamorphosis. At that point, they're continuing to be fed for about 3 or 4 weeks more before they're sent to oyster farms at a size from 1 to 2 millimeters. There's some office space being proposed in there. Currently, we have a small innovation voucher from the state to start this project on a smaller scale. So I do have an application in with CRMC already to do the project on a, I wouldn't call it a pilot scale, but a smaller scale in one of the existing buildings. That is the building closest to the proposed building.
All right, Perry, what I was going to do is maybe, Rick, if you just wanted to talk about what the proposed building is going to look like or on the site plans.
So I would like the proposed building to look, similar to the oyster bar now. It would be... with the siding and similar type of style, two stories is what we proposed, there'd be a garage door in the front to be able to get tanks in and out, large equipment in and out, the exterior. You're wondering about the exterior of the building?
No, that's okay for now. Why don't we? I think we've kind of laid out the project generally. Maybe we'll get some questions from you guys. And Perry, if you just want to hold off, we'll see what the questions are and figure out who's best to respond, you, me, or Rick.
Sure.
Okay. So that's generally it. Like I said, there's the existing marina still there. This had been a structure where there'd been a non-conforming residence there when Perry bought the property, so he's not using it for that. And like I said, wants to add this hatchery business to the site, which has minimal staff there most times of the year. So,
I have a question for Jeff. Is the marina considered non-conforming for parking right now? I think the plan, and this is a question, so the plan that is shown showed 107 spaces. How many boat slips? But some of the boat slips were listed as proposed, so we aren't sure if those were actually there or not.
No, they didn't get approved from what I can see from the CRMC records.
They did not get approved.
This was the only plan we had to work with at this point.
Okay. So then we looked up the marina parking. It was 1.5 per slip.
Mm-hmm.
And when we just counted what was, again, on the plan, they all had numbers, or what didn't have enough. So I didn't know if you, Jeff, if that was considered a pre-existing non-conforming for parking.
I would say yes, because the marina and everything has been there prior to the parking regulation.
Okay.
I think I'll also point out that the parking plan that is shown on the rendition that you have there is something that the previous owner proposed, along with more docks than he actually had. So he was proposing more docks. So depicted in there is you know, his plan to have more docks, which he wasn't allowed to do.
So we can, what we can do, I think, for the next stage of the application is confirm the number of slips that are actually out there, and then we can get an accurate count of what the parking is and understand if it's non-conforming. So
why don't you just go off the coastal permit? Because the coastal permit would have indicated the number of slips, right?
Yes. We didn't have the plans. Another engineer did the plans for the marina itself, and we didn't. Unfortunately, because of the power outage, we didn't get a chance to get that digital plan. When we did look at the CRMC application, the expansion for the marina was withdrawn. The requirement, I believe, that the parking showed the requirement for, I think it's one slip for one parking space for 1.5 slips, and that's what the permit and that drawing depicts conformance to that. So I believe we have more than enough parking.
So the amount of employees that actually would work in the hatchery and the timing of their them being present, if you look, isn't really coincide with peak hours in the parking lot, even though everything south of Route 1 becomes congested in July and August on the weekends. Hatchery manager and a technician would really be the main employees during the peak months of operation, which are really between February, March, April. You get them to spawn. May, you get them out to the hatcheries. June, we might experiment with some other species, but there's not the peak activity in the hatchery isn't going on in the peak of summer. It's before that, and it's not a labor intensive for a few people, but not labor intensive for a lot of people, like say a restaurant is.
Right. So we can confirm the parking then.
So for the
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Is that you can't go by the map.
Yeah, that's correct.
So on the lower section of parking here, near the boat ramp, would you also have to allow for trailers? And so that when you're actually showing two cars, you might actually show a car on a trailer that would be loading at the boat ramp.
So let me just back up a minute. Barry, it's Chelsea. I don't sound like myself today. So this is a major land development project, similar to the last one we just looked at. It's a redevelopment of this existing site, and so the plan needs to address the new use and building and how that new use and building affect the existing uses and buildings. So you don't necessarily have to redesign or mitigate any existing issues, but if the new use creates an issue, you have to mitigate that.
Okay.
So for parking, the new use, I think last time we talked about it, we said the new use would require two parking spaces and the old one required two parking spaces, so you don't need to add any new parking, but you need to make sure that the parking lot that they're using functions.
Okay.
It has landscaping, no conflicts, the access is right, those sorts of things.
Okay.
So if you can do that on this part of this parking lot, you don't have to touch the rest of the parking lot.
Okay.
Okay.
So really just have to look at the use you're proposing and how it impacts the rest of the site and see if you can do what you need to in a smaller area.
Okay, understood. That's good.
What's the second, this building number two under the proposed plan? This is the hatchery, right? Replacing the existing dwelling.
Right.
This building's labeled as the hatchery. Is it an accessory use to the main?
So I think this one is what Perry was just saying, is where he's going to start his hatchery with the DEM funds.
Okay.
But in the existing building, and then he's going to build this building, and then will this stay a hatchery, and they'll both be hatchery, or will they swap,
My plan for, the question is what's going to happen with the smaller building next to the proposed building after if the hatchery's built.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is establish the intake pump and the filtration systems, which are you know, obviously not cheap. I'd like to get them in place in that smaller building and then operate the small scale, you know, smaller scale hatchery in that building. And then hopefully once getting this, you know, a new hatchery permitted and built, I can still use that intake pump and filtration. And also there's also, you know, UV filtration and the effluent water. And hopefully I'll be able to use that equipment as is in place to pump water in and out of the new building, if it makes sense. If not, you know, I'll use the new hatchery, but I'd like to get the equipment that I'm going to use in the future for this initial scale operation and be able to continue to use it in the future with the new hatchery.
So, Rick, do you have to, on the permit to CRMC, do these lines, influent and effluent line, need to be shown off of this building?
They're going to have to be changed to be shown off of this building. That's correct. So basically what Perry wants to do is, if we build a new building, maximize that building for the hatchery. And if we can put the mechanicals into this building, we'll do that so that it leaves this building alone, basically. That also gets him started in the first phase with the innovation grant to do something in here.
So this,
Okay.
The master plan, let's just make sure that whatever you show matches what's been submitted.
Right. This should be shown as like a future.
Yeah,
future
it's sort of like a two-phase project.
Okay. Yeah.
These plans are good for the pre-app.
Yeah, I think we had a few completeness, like technical notes and things that we'll send to you.
Okay.
Okay.
But I don't see why we couldn't do pre-op in December.
Yeah.
Come on, is there any proposed landscaping or anything, exterior lighting or just control for the parking? I mean, it's a big gravel lot, right? So how are they how are you going to control the parking spaces?
The number of employees that would be coming in and out of the operation, besides myself, is really two other people that would be in and out of there. And if you look at the hours on the application of the peak activity, it's not during the peak hours of parking in the down parking problems that occur on Succotash Road, which are July and August and some weekends in May and June. So we're really talking about two vehicles, and majority of time they're not there during those peak hours. Not that they'll never be there, but we're talking about two vehicles. We're not talking about a slew of employees or staff.
Are you looking generally for some flow?
I have a question to Chelsea. Does the board only review that two or three park spots associated with that, or can the board review the landscaping and, you know, how they control the parking?
The board has to review whatever impacts the new development has, right? So if it's just two parking spaces, like I said before, they don't need to propose any new parking. But they do need to make sure that the parking lot that is being used by those two spaces meets the regulations. So in terms of landscaping and access and drive aisles, but it doesn't have to be the whole thing. Could, like with the last one, right? So on 84 with Tower Hill, which we just looked at, they did all their parking on their own contained site. So we didn't have them address the parking for Fred Smith because it was completely separate. So if they can sort of contain a parking area where it makes sense, they wouldn't have to necessarily address the rest of the parking, just the parking area that contains their spaces. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like I mean, I kind of was looking mitigating at, you know, as far as their, would the board be looking at, somebody likes landscaping along maybe the roads, so structure right now.
No.
But you're saying, no, we're only going to be committing this right here.
Yeah, it's only the impacts that the redevelopment creates. So this parking lot is existing, so they don't have to mitigate the impacts of this entire parking lot for visually or stormwater or any of that. They just have to mitigate the impacts that they're creating with the redevelopment.
Okay.
Now we could change that in the future in the regulations if that's what we want, but right now that's how
I'm
it's
just trying to understand it. That's all.
Yeah, same. No, I appreciate that clarification.
We had a little bit last night about, you know, land development projects and what makes sense, but for now it's just
staying over in this corner.
If you stay where the buildings are that you're proposing to change,
okay.
You should be keep the parking, but keep landscape and, you know, make sure your drive aisles are the right widths and have great turning radiuses.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it anticipated that there would be any tours or any interaction at all with the restaurant or people that go to the restaurant?
Perry, did you hear that question?
Was there anticipation of having tours from the restaurant? Is that what?
Or of just the tours or people at the hatchery?
I do tours on usually 10 o'clock in the morning of the oyster farm, and you know, if there was a stipulation that there was no tours allowed at the facility, I would adhere to it. But I wouldn't. You know, if I didn't have to, I wouldn't. I think Shellfish Hatchery would be a pretty neat thing for the town and tourists to be able to tour.
I think the Perry, when you do those tours, it would not be really conflicting with the restaurant busy time, so you don't have a lot of crossover. Was that?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if there was going to be interaction with the restaurant at busy times, I guess my interest would be whether how you control pedestrian traffic on and off the site and making sure that it's safe as it crosses over the road.
Perry? It's Josh. Is that a valet lot when you operate your restaurant?
What's that?
The parking area at the marina that you use for the restaurant patrons is, I'm led to believe that that's used only by the valet folks, correct?
Yeah, during the evening, it's used only by the valets, and then you know, after four, you know, the valets start to use it, or if it's a busy Sunday. But those are the days we avoid having tours. You know, we'll have tours at a more obscure times, not peak times. The valets are the marina slip holders also use half of the lot, while the valets will use the other half, is usually what happens, and then the employees kind of wind up in the corner of the lot.
Yeah, and just something, maybe we don't need it now, Perry, but to think about it for everyone, is just the lighting on the buildings and what you need, but I don't think it should be anything dramatic.
I mean, if they're not going to be able to access the buildings at night anyway.
Right, yeah. Because we do have some neighbors across the way,
yeah,
so we want to watch them.
Because it's a land development project, it'll have, you know, you'll go through the stages, right? So conceptually, you'll need accurate existing conditions, proposed locations of buildings, but preliminary, that's where you get all your, parking lot details and dumpster location and lighting. And so a couple of stages.
Is there a crosswalks on the street there, or is that something that maybe we should...
Well, it's a state road. I'm hoping that maybe, well, he could always petition the state traffic commission, and then the town could have some, town would have an ability to comment on that at the traffic transportation level when that request goes in, because that'll circle back to the town in that sense. But it's a state road, so he'll have to petition the state for that.
Well, I guess that's what I'm trying to get at, is trying to understand interaction with potential pedestrian traffic and whether we should encourage that be an application for crosswalk.
Mm-hmm. Keep that on the list. Okay.
Typically, Perry, when you have your tours, they're separate from patrons at the restaurant, though, right?
Yeah, the tours, will start at 10 and, usually end at around 11:15, just before we open for lunch. So, if the people that want to stay for lunch, they can stay for lunch. But I'm not doing a tour during Well, I mean, I shouldn't say never. Sometimes I get some, you know, I don't know, there were some people from Indonesia that came last week in the middle of the day, you know, so sometimes that happens. But if I'm going to schedule a tour for the public, it will be at 10 o'clock in the morning. And that is, you know, just to, I'm trying to avoid the congested times when I schedule a public tour. And so that's, you know, that's what I would do. And I have spoke to DOT about the crosswalk, and you know, I think a large part of that was I had to you know, complete the purchase of the DOT-owned land that the crosswalk would be connecting to. And I think I had to get that finished with first, which I believe that is closing, I think, today.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm just looking at the map here. This property here, all up to the road, that piece is being acquired today by Perry, so...
Is everything up to the edge of pavement, or where's the line going to go?
I don't have the actual map in front of me, but it pretty much squares this piece off. Okay. So that was approved by the State Properties Committee, and it was purchasing. I think that Perry, you're right, the sale is scheduled today, the purchase is today. So as part of this, at some point, we'll be doing an administrative subdivision to get rid of those lines and make it all.
That's where the extra parking was for the marina expansion that they proposed. So
24 feet by the length of the property.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
He hasn't acquired that yet.
Today. It's supposed
today.
To be today.
Works,
that's it. Yeah. Like I said, it was approved by State Properties, and the closing scheduled for today. And then, as I said, at some point, then we'll put that together as an administrative subdivision.
We want to do that. I would say probably before. At least before final plan approval.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So that you can show it as an existing condition as opposed to proposed. Yeah, I think that's all I have. Do you have anything?
I don't know.
We have, I don't know if you have, I sent them to Leslie, all the new checklists.
Okay.
All right. The stages, because
okay.
The planning board just adopted new ones in October.
Okay.
So she has all of that.
So we're using the right ones? Okay.
Yeah.
Just a question on that purchase and the parking. Would the vehicles be coming directly off the road to park and back on the road, or are these vehicles meant to be double parked with some type of control on this side of the parking?
Which area you want?
Well, for instance, here. Yeah. Are these vehicles coming?
Those look like they're double parked.
So there'll be some type of control here, and they're
yes.
meant to double parked, so they
right.
won't be. Directly off the road.
Yeah, yep. I don't think because of the topography that you can get into those spaces from the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it comes down.
Yeah. I think literally the only way you can get into there right now, accessibility wise, is through the curb cut.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, back to my earlier point, if you're going to use this curb cut for the parking, then this will be considered to run back.
Better. Okay.
Everything up to the curb cut.
I'll take a look at that. Okay. All right. And then when did you say we could get on from
the planning? The planning board's on December 28th.
Okay.
And the deadline for you need to have a complete pre-app application, so a certificate of completeness in hand by December 9th.
7th.
Thank you. And there are, like, there's not too much, I think, missing.
And you're going to send us whatever list you have, okay. Did you guys adopt the ordinance to match the state regulation in terms of timelines?
Yeah. Well, no, we don't have to do anything. They'll just apply.
Okay, so MAC will apply.
Yeah.
Some towns are adopting ordinances on top of that.
We're in the middle of updating our regulations right now, so when they're updated, they'll match our ordinance.
Okay.
As of right now, we're just going with what the state tells us we have to do.
Okay. Sounds good. Great. Thank you so much.
Okay,
thanks,
you.
Perry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Perry.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Slopes. 90 slopes.